So we on Romans chapter 1, verse 8 through 12. Well, not verse 8, verse 8 through, yeah. We're going to read Romans chapter 1, verse 8 through 12. Today's title sermon, I didn't really want to name it, but I gave it a name, a title of The Greatest Witness. But there are a couple other points that I want to get to. I don't want that point to outshine all that we have to learn from in this verse on today. But as we read Romans chapter 1, verse 8 through 12, we read, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you." Verse 11, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me." Verse 9, Paul says, "For God is my witness." Now, in context, it would be real easy to read this verse and not really put any emphasis on Paul calling God to the stand as his witness. Why? First, is because when we read this verse as a complete thought, it clearly lends to the understanding that Paul wants the readers, that is the Romans who he's writing to know of his sincere desire to meet the acquaintance of those people in the flesh. Although this is true, when we scratch and sniff this word witness, you'll come to find another layer of understanding to be found, one that is not of the personal intentions of man, but of the Holy Spirit. There is another reason as to why this word is strategically placed in Scripture for us to read. And that is because we've become too comfortable in the way that we use God's name. So casually, in fact, that when we use his name, there's very little value at all, a lot of times. It's like when we use or say his name, we no longer give him the respect and the reverence of the capitalization of his name. And I believe this morning that God wants us to see the horrible truth about this place that we're currently in versus the place that we should be concerning the use and the value of his name. At the writing of this letter, Paul uses God's name as real-time currency to prove to his intended readers that what he was saying was the absolute truth. God is my witness. He could have said, Timothy is my witness, or Matthew is my witness, or Abraham, or whoever he desired to, but he said, no, God is my witness. He went straight to the greatest witness, straight to the top. Nobody else's name would equal the value that God's name equals. Nobody else's name would have the currency value, like I talked about, that God's name carries. Okay? So, let's look at Philippians 1, verse 8. It says, "For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ." There goes that word witness again, we read it as record. "For God is my record." God wants us to understand the value of his name this morning and for us to understand that he has given us many names, yes, but his name he's given us to use for our benefit. What is this word witness? How is it defined? The dictionary says that witness is defined as a person who has seen or can give firsthand evidence of something. A person or a thing giving or serving as evidence. A person who testifies, especially in the court of law, to events or facts within his own knowledge. A person who attests to the genuineness of a document, signature, etc., by adding his own signature. I like that one right there, because God added his own signature to our lives. He atoned for our sins, gave his son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and the authenticity of that act which Jesus Christ did on the cross was his signature that he gave, that our signature wouldn't have worked. We could have signed off and said, you know, we do it all the time. We think that we are good to some type of measure, or we try to give ourselves some kind of credit here and there, but none of that has any value, or none of that is authentic when it comes down to the bottom line. But Jesus Christ dying on that cross said it all. He erased our faulty signature and gave his own signature so that we can be saved and have everlasting life. Amen. To bear witness is the fifth definition. To give written or oral testimony to be evidence or proof of. Now, one little side thing in there I want to throw in there is God, yes, he said, Paul said, is my witness. God is our witness. He's your witness. You know, but he's not only your witness when it comes to having your back or for your good. Right? He's also your witness in terms of all of the bad stuff that you done did. Who you really are underneath the flesh. So we can say, for God is my witness for this, or God is my witness for that, but also understand that, you know, God is a holy witness. He's a perfect witness. That means that he's not just going to side with you when you do wrong. He's going to hold you accountable for that. So we got to understand that when we use this, or when we use God as our witness, I want you to understand again that this is currency. You know, this is real value that we're talking about. So we just can't haphazardly or casually use his name just to throw out there, thinking that we're going to benefit from it, even if we're acting in sin. And I'll hit back on that point a little bit later. But let's look at Leviticus 19, 1 through 12. It reads, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. Turn ye not unto idols, nor make yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God. And if you offer a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord, ye shall offer it at your own will. It shall be eaten the same day ye offer it, and on the morrow. And it ought remain until the third day. It shall be burnt in the fire, and it shall be eaten at, and if it be eaten at all on the third day, it is abominable. It shall not be accepted. Therefore, everyone that eateth it shall bear his iniquity, because he hath profaned the hallowed thing of the Lord. And that soul shall be cut off from among his people. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean the vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another, and ye shall not swear by my name falsely. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Now I read all of this, and I know that was quite a bit, and you're probably saying, well, what does all this have to do with the topic on today? But we hear that right here in the end where it says, and you shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. And also, I just want to give some context and set up and show you how God is the same as he has always been. God is the same today as he's always been. He's the same today as he was yesterday, as he was 100 years ago, since the beginning of time. God does not change. Hebrews 13 and 8 tells us Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. It's not just me saying it, but here's more scripture. Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, ye are not consumed. James 1:17. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Numbers 23:19. You guys can read that on your own. Isaiah 48. Psalms 102, for you Psalms lovers, 102:25-27, it says, O, hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, as a vesture shall turn, to shall thou change them. And they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. God is the same. And brings me to my second point, how to serve God. Now he says, God is my witness. In verse 9, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, Jesus Christ. So how do we serve God? We have to serve God in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your spirit, belongs to you, belongs to me. God has given us a spirit to lead us and to guide us. The Holy Spirit is the only spirit by which you can properly and effectively serve God. John 4:23-24 reads, but the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Okay? This is how God wants to be worshiped. He wants to be worshiped in spirit and in truth. He goes so far as to say, these are the people who God seeks. He's looking. You say, well, how can God seek? Or what does God need to seek for? I don't know, but it says it here. You know, when you seek for something, it's something important. It's something that you got to put some energy in. So it's telling us here that God is putting forth some energy, and he has a strong desire for those who want to worship him or who are going to worship him in spirit and in truth, not just in the flesh. 24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 14:26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Again, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit, which we have to serve God in, whom the Father sent in the name of Jesus. He's the one who teaches us. He's the one who leads us. He's the one who guides us. He's the one with all the answers. He's the one that needs to be talking, not us. When we open our mouth and we speak, we in trouble just like that, right away. It's too late. You spoke. Trouble. Right? But when we learn how to wait on the Holy Spirit, when we learn how to yield to the Spirit, when we learn how to live in the Spirit, be planted in the Spirit, wait on the Spirit, live according to how he tells us to live, think according to how he tells us to think, we're not in trouble. We're actually in a position to where we are pleasing God. We're living for God. We can't do it of our own accord, because when we do it of our own accord, we're automatically putting ourselves in the position of living in sin. And the wages of sin is what? Death. So this is very important. Very, very important. And it's easy to slip and think that you got strength of your own accord to serve God. And a lot of us are doing that right now. And we've been doing it. And we thought that we wasn't doing it, but we still was doing it. Trying to serve God in the flesh. Trying to serve God by deeds. We preach this almost every week. You can't serve God by deeds. None of us are good. Nobody's good but God. My last point is the position of service. So we talked about God as a witness. We talked about serving him in the spirit. And now I want to talk about position of service. Paul's position of service was, again, like I mentioned last time I was up, in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He always clarifies his position, and that's being in Jesus Christ. Paul is teaching us here how we ought to always boldly present ourselves as position in Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus, God is my witness, whom I serve in the gospel of Jesus Christ. As I mentioned last time I was up again, Paul always gave proper and complete introduction, always giving honor to God and never neglecting to also give honor to his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Pay attention to the repetition. is there to build good habits in the believer. It's there to build solid character. It's there to build a foundation in which you and I can stand on boldly and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is truly his power unto God, unto salvation. It is truly the power of God unto salvation. Excuse me. It's there as a constant reminder so that we don't forget, which we do also often. Don't get bored with it. Galatians 6, 9 through 10, it says, and let us not be weary in our well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto the whole who are of the household of faith. Again, it says, and let us not be weary in our well-doing. I want to link that to don't get weary in reading the same thing over and over again. When you get into your word, it's easy to skip over words. It's easy not to pay attention to some real subtle things that are really, when you study them and you take your time and you meditate on them, those are like the biggest things that we don't want to skip over. And those are the things that we need to, just like we need to stay in our word. We need to read it over and over and over and over and over again. We need to be in it, reading it every day and every night. Just like we need to be in prayer every day. I used to do it, as we read in the Old Testament, 3 times a day, right? Because as soon as we leave the presence of God, we're in trouble again. As soon as we leave the presence of God, we're in the presence of the enemy. So what does that mean? That means we got to stay in the presence of God. Got to stay reading his word. We got to stay positioned in Christ Jesus. We got to continue to remind ourselves of Christ Jesus, because as soon as we forget, or as soon as we get into a situation, it's easy for the enemy to creep and sneak in and tell us something contrary to who we are. It's easy for us to whisper to us and say, okay, you're going to need to do this and you're going to need to do that. Let me show you how to do this and go over here and do it this way. When you already been told just this morning, when you got into your word, how to do it and how to stay away from this and how to stay away from that. How to trust in God, how to wait, how to be patient. And the enemy going to tell you, you need this right now. Let me tell you how to get it right now. You don't want to wait. This ain't a time for patience. And you want to take it and you want to manipulate the word of God when he tells you, don't worry about the things of tomorrow. None of us are promised tomorrow. When the enemy is going to tell you, well, if you ain't promised tomorrow, why not try to get it right now? You got to get everything right now. You see what I'm saying? This is how the enemy works. He's very clever. He's very wise. I don't know why he chose to put himself against the God. That's just, pastor said, it's crazy. You know, that's just insanity, right? That's the definition right there. You know, but insane people still have a high IQ. Crazy people still have a large amount of intelligence, you know, that they can play you with. And that they can use to drag you down with them. And as we heard so often, that's the enemy's plan. That's what he wants to do, is he wants to take you straight to hell with him, because he already know where he's going. He already know where his eternity exists. Okay? So, three things. God is your witness. Use that. Learn about it. Grab a hold of it. And don't use God's name in vain. Don't use it casually. That don't mean don't use it often. I suggest you use it as much as you can. But use it because you are positioned in Jesus Christ. Use it because your whole motive and your whole objection in life is to serve Jesus Christ, is to spread the gospel, is to be a worker bee, a worker ant for Christ Jesus. So you don't have any other option, or you don't have any other need not to use his name. Every time you turn around, you got to use his name, because this is who you've indebted yourself to. This is who you've become a bondservant of. Okay? So, witness. Position of service. Serving God in the Spirit. So God is your witness, serving God in the Holy Spirit, and your position of service. Those are the three things that I want you to take home with you today. And I pray and hope that this word has blessed you like it's blessed me. That's all I have for you today. So let's pray, Father God.